Trustee Rita Athus. Trustee Dennis Barsima.
Here.
Vice Chair John Butler.
Here.
Trustee Veronica Herrero. Trustee Aiden O'Brien.
Here.
Trustee Leland Strom. Trustee Eric Wasowitz.
Here.
Board Chair Montel Gales.
Here. Ms. Curry, will you please confirm that the appropriate notice of this meeting has been provided and we have a quorum present?
Mr. Chair, we have reached quorum of physically present board members for this special meeting and appropriate notices have been provided by the university.
Thank you very much. May I have a motion to approve the agenda as proposed?
So moved, Barsima.
Second, Wasowitz.
Any discussion? Any opposition? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. I want to welcome the University Advisory Committee, UAC representatives present today. The current UAC representatives are Felicia Bohannon, Benjamin Creed, Brad Kripe, Larissa Garcia, Natasha Johnson, and Thomas Skuzinski. Do any of you have any comments? No? Okay. This is an opportunity for me to say a couple of words. One, I just want to say what a great day this is. You know, I know we're packed. This is a packed house, not just to see us, but because of what's going to happen later on today. We appreciate the donation that has been made. It's a very, very generous donation, but I don't want to diminish any of the other donations that we received that are far lesser in value. Your time, treasure, and talent is what's essential to make sure that this university grows, but we are thankful for that donation. As I said at the last meeting, I'm also getting hyped up too for this election. Not for any one particular candidate, but the fact that we have an opportunity to exercise our great democracy. And I would urge not just the people in this room, but of course our campus and our students to ensure that they go out and vote. Voting is a privilege. It's a privilege. So we should take advantage of that. And then the other great thing that's on our agenda today, of course, deals with energy efficiency. I look at it as us stepping into the 21st century, finally, to try to upgrade some of the conditions of our buildings and the campus and the infrastructure that supports our students. So with that said, let's have a great meeting.
And happy birthday, Montel.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Don't let the glasses fool you. I still feel young, but we recognize members of the public who have complied with the state law and Board of Trustees bylaws by registering their written request to address the board with our parliamentarian. Mr. Brady, have we received any timely request to address this meeting?
Mr. Chair, I have received no timely requests.
Very good. We will now move to the President's Report number 181. President Freeman, will you please present the report?
Thank you, Chair Gales. Agenda items 6A through 6C relate to NIU's desire to enter into an energy savings agreement with Train. I will present these items. Vice President Middlemist is available to answer detailed questions, and John Dunlap from Train is also present. Agenda item 6A, Campus Energy Improvement Phase 2 Implementation. Previously in August, the board approved the expenditure of $3 million to launch campus energy improvements with a start date that aligned with the opportunity for specific federal incentives. Today, item 6A is requesting board approval of the additional $53 million in capital needed to fully implement the energy savings agreement that was proposed after Train and NIU assessed energy consumption, building infrastructure, modernization requirements, and potential energy savings opportunities across 51 campus buildings. The proposed components of the energy savings agreement were presented to the board in August and are restated in item 6A. They include improvements to HVAC efficiency, lighting, water conservation, building envelopes, as well as installation of solar arrays and charging stations. The university anticipates using certificates of participation as the financing instrument. And in fact, agenda items 6B and 6C address process and acceptable terms. Sorry about that. For illustrative purposes, this item presents a conservative estimate of potential net energy savings from the ESA, which was modeled at an interest rate of 5.6% over 28 years. In this model, the overall cost of the project for capital and financing is predicted to be $123.4 million, with net savings of $28.8 million over the course of the financing period. Said another way, this model suggests an average annual savings of roughly $1 million. Moreover, in addition to these cost savings, NIU benefits from the energy savings agreement because it projects, addresses critical deferred maintenance projects, supports the university's sustainability goals, provides experiential learning opportunities for students, and also makes our university more attractive to prospective students. The recommendation from the university is that the Board of Trustees approve $53 million to implement the energy savings agreement developed with Trane. The university will not spend the $53 million unless a financing agreement that is net revenue positive can be negotiated.
May I have a motion to approve?
So move, Wasowitz.
Is there a second?
Second, Barsima.
That Trustee Athas has arrived at 9:03 a.m. Welcome. Again, is there any discussion on the motion?
I mean, I think this is something, this is a lot of money, and but I think it's something that is overdue here. John, I think we've talked about boilers and all kinds of other heating and cooling devices since I've been on the board, and this seems to be a well thought out plan. It's something that's going to save us money along the way. So, I think we've done our homework on this one from what everything that I've heard, and I know we have as a board. So,
thank you. Thank you. And
yeah.
Trustee Barsima.
Yeah, thank you, Trustee Chair Gales. I agree with Eric's comments. Thank you all for the work that has been done on this. I guess the question that I have, or at least maybe the words I want to hear again, is that the savings are guaranteed by Trane. Is that correct?
That's correct, Dennis. The savings are guaranteed.
So how does that work? So if we don't achieve the savings that we've have in our documents, they write us a check. How does that all work?
Essentially, yes. What they've done is they've measured the current state, right? So they've measured the current state to say, here's your energy consumption. Here's what you're paying in utilities right now. So when we implement these new systems, here's where your energy consumption should be, which we'll also measure, right? So we'll measure and value that. Here's where you really are. They have, Trane has an incentive to not be overly aggressive with their energy savings because they are guaranteeing this. And so I have every confidence that we'll actually perform better than what we're expecting. But we've been more conservative and said, here's this. But Trane, if we don't perform like we thought we would for whatever reason, yes, they'll write us a check and they'll begin to make adjustments to the systems as well. So we do achieve those savings because they have that incentive. Hmm.
Are there examples that we know of in the past with Trane where they haven't met the expectation that they promised a university or an institution or a commercial company and they've had to write a check?
I'm not aware of that, but we do have John Dunlap here who could answer that question.
There he is.
Please, if you could step to the mic.
Good morning, everyone. There are a very few examples where those expectations have not been met. Moreover, the expectations as we set forth and George mentioned, we are very conservative in our approach. It's not in our best interest to be paying incentives. It's rather to achieve the goals that we set forth. So we are very, very confident in the guarantee and our ability to make sure that we execute the improvements and achieve the energy savings set forth.
So to the best of my understanding or the best of my knowledge, none of us on this board are HVAC experts. What questions haven't we asked, or what bad things can happen to us as a part of this deal that we that we haven't discussed.
Unintended consequences.
Yeah. Unintended consequences, yeah.
Obviously, there's, you know, acts of God, but we can't control those. But I think we've been very diligent and purposeful in our studies and making sure that the recommendations and the engineering solutions are going to be solid and perform as expected or better.
I just have one, and this is a very nitpicky kind of question, but I noticed that one of the is an electric charging stations. We're doing level twos. Is there a reason why we didn't do level one fast chargers? Or, I don't know. It's a very small item. But.
So level one chargers are actually the slowest chargers. Mm. I believe that you currently have two of those on campus. They take roughly 12 hours, 10 to 12 hours to provide a charge. So we've gone with the recommendation for a level two 48 amp charger, so it conforms more to a typical parking lot experience for a visitor and or for a faculty or for a student learner. So they can achieve a relatively quick charge. It's not a DC fast or a level three charge, but a level two is more appropriate for this area, and it also has a lower cost.
Thank you for that quick education. Thank you. Any other discussion?
I will say I've never seen so many folks interested in HVAC before. That is why you're all here, right? I'm assuming so. That's good to see the interest in this project.
I agree. It's very exciting and promising.
And it may be just to follow up with Dennis' question. So let's just say that we don't meet this. It sounds like if we don't, we'll be close. If we don't, and then what happens if there is a difference? We're talking, what, about 25 years out then for full payback?
So the guarantee on the contract with Trane would be for 20-year terms. We'll guarantee the performance on the energy savings.
Okay. And if we're not meeting that, you guys make up the difference?
Right. We utilize measurement and verification. As Mr. Mindelmist had mentioned, there are baseline that have been established. And then through the controls and automation, they will monitor. This will not be something that happens once a year. There'll be multiple checkpoints. It is also our hope to get the students academically engaged in understanding energy, the data that flows across your buildings, and understanding the economics associated with it. And those verifications will take place formally twice a year. As John had mentioned, those will allow for course adjustments to make sure that we are staying on track with the typical summer cooling season and the winter heating season. So it's not going to be a runaway train at all. It'll be
no pun intended.
Yes, it'll be done with accountability. Should there be a situation where the performance does not achieve, a financial remittance will be made back to the university and make them whole.
Okay. And John, you're good with this. Okay.
John, let me ask you, what's the reporting back to the board on this? How will we be made aware of the success or failure?
I'm really expecting this to be a drumbeat at least annually, and even through the implementation, probably more likely twice a year to give you updates. I don't want to give too frequent, nothing's changing that significantly, but by the time next February meeting, for example, and then again by next summer, having some regular updates, because I want to give you confidence that this is tracking to implementation. Yes. And then throughout the performance period, I want to give you that sense that we are achieving the savings that were actually projected and succeeding.
I don't know if I speak for the rest of the board, but when I was reading the background of this, I just wondered what was going to start first. How will I know that things are actually taking place? Because a lot of this is inside of a building, et cetera, and you don't see a lot of construction from the outside.
Right, there always is that aspect, and throughout the implementation period, we're gonna have to do a lot of coordination so we're not interfering with classes and other operations across the university. So that's why it's gonna take a year and a half to 2 years to really implement all of these features across the board. But once something gets started, once a component gets completed, we're gonna start tracking that component while other things are going.
And George, you're the leader of all this, so any other thought changes at all or anything?
I think this, a lot of it's been covered here. I'm just a teammate, but definitely at the forefront. You know, our when we met with Train and started to plan this out, you know, what we asked for was to be really aggressive in terms of energy savings, so that we could be able to realize real dollars to be able to finance this, but also to hopefully see the university begin to reduce our, not just our energy consumption, but to see actual savings, right? So after we pay the financing, my goal is that we still see actual savings to the budget, and hopefully significant. We haven't talked about the financing item yet. We're working really hard to try and do this deal smart, and I'll save any comments for the financing for when we get to that item. But I think that we've done a really great job, John and the team in the physical plant, in planning out what we need to do to not only to improve the infrastructure, but a lot of the improvements are going to make the learning spaces more accessible, and better learning spaces. And so that's a huge win in my mind.
And you know what's really wild? There's people with hard hats on behind you.
Yes.
Working on Swin Parson right now.
I know. I was watching it.
It's better than the plastic up there. Okay.
Trustee Athas and then Trustee Barsino.
My comment was going to be on the financing. So, George, I'll wait till we get to that section.
Yep.
Okay.
So, from a resource standpoint, are we confident and comfortable with the resources that we, as NIU, are expected to bring forward to make this project successful, or is this going to require us to bring in outside contractors or hire outside people?
I think I follow what you're asking. Performance period, after we get things in place, how do we maintain it going forward for the 20-year period? That is going to involve Train for that 20-year period. They've got the expertise on these systems, and so we're going to leverage them. And then as we go, we'll expect to learn how to maintain these systems so we can take them over ourselves beyond the guaranteed period. But during the guaranteed period, they want to make sure it's being done right because they're backing it up.
So the entire installation is done by Train people?
It'll be done by certified Train contractors as well as Train staff and
the people that you've certified and that you've brought in.
Yes,
because I just want to make sure that as we, you know, again, I'm kind of stuck on this guarantee. I just want to make sure that, you know, we can't come back and say, well, you NIU didn't do this, therefore the guarantee is null and void. Is there any risk of that?
I believe the benefit here is single point of accountability. Train is guaranteeing it, and we're accountable for the project implementation and the forward success.
Okay.
One throat to choke, I guess.
One throat.
What's that?
One throat to choke.
I would make a counter recommendation. One back to Pat. That's my. There was a question about visibility. Through the mobilization, we will actually begin to see visible signs on the campus as early as late December. So visible signs with solar module placements beginning, as well as dynamic energy storage tanks at least two sites.
Exciting. That's exciting.
And modules are going to spell no Huskies.
I believe the original design was NIU.
Okay, we'll go with that. Trustee Butler.
So my question in situations like this typically relate to the actual work that's being done. I want to just make sure that I'm sure that all the improvement work that's going to be done by the tradespersons that are going to be doing it will be paying the prevailing wage.
That is correct. All labor on campus will be paid prevailing wage.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that assurance. The only other point that I wanted to make was we're perfecting this agreement and the plans in the current policy environment. So there's always the possibility that the election will bring new legislation targeting things like charging stations and so forth. So in the event that over the 20-year period, or really more recently, there is federal resources or state resources that can be used to cover some of these costs, there's flexibility in the agreement to move the capital projects from this priority to that priority?
Yeah, if I'm following your question correctly, I do see that flexibility. And part of that will be in the financing terms that will work out. Can we prepay some of the financing? And that'll be an aspect that we're looking at. But if it's also as more money becomes available, we can shift those monies to other priorities that these energy improvements already took care of. So there's other priorities that we need to address.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Trustee Barsema.
My last question, I promise. As the chair of FACFO, I've got to ask this question. From a financing standpoint and from a budget standpoint, clearly, as the entire campus community knows, the board has an expectation that we will have a zero deficit for fiscal year 26. So that's important to us, right, to reach a balanced budget. Does this have a negative impact, or has this been taken into context relative to our ability to meet the goal of having a balanced budget in fiscal year 26?
So this is hopefully part of that strategy to reduce the deficit, right? If we can realize actual savings from the reduction in utilities, then yes. When we get to the financing item, we can probably dig into this a little deeper, but we're still figuring out what that financing looks like, right? Mm-hmm. Because we're building the plane while it's in the air. There's still some unknowns for us, but we can talk a little bit more about that when we get to the financing item, because I'm sure there's going to be plenty of questions.
It's just one thing we need to keep a close eye on, because I would not want this to set us back relative to our goal of reaching a balanced budget.
Yep. Agreed.
Good point. Any other questions or comments from the board? Let's call the question. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposition? Any abstentions? The motion carries.
Get to work.
Man, let's go.
Well, before we get to work, I think we need to talk about the financing. So I'm going to go on to agenda item 6B, resolution authorizing issuance of auxiliary facility system revenue bonds and related matters. This item presents for the board approval two resolutions related to the financing of the opportunity described in item 6A and discussed just a few minutes ago. The resolutions have been developed in consultation with bond counsel at Chapman and Cutler. The first resolution in agenda item 6B serves to authorize pursuit of financing through the sale of certificates of participation and the development of a preliminary official statement. Agenda item 6C is an information item that provides an example of the format and composition of the preliminary official statement. The second resolution in agenda item 6B authorizes the application of this financing to expenditures related to the energy project through reimbursement of related capital expenses. The recommendation from the university is that the board adopt both resolutions in item 6B in today's meeting.
May I have a motion to approve?
So move, Wasowitz.
Second. Is there a discussion? Let me start. Yes.
Just following up and building a little bit on Trustee Barsema's question, George, and I think we've talked about this a little bit, and of course we all have the budgetary concerns, and
sure.
I think you kind of answered it by saying that it's a plane that we're building in the air.
Yep.
But how do you foresee the cash flow happening as we go through the next few years? Is there any impact on our cash flow or on our deficit, as Trustee Barsema said, as we go forward?
The cash flow impact should be positive. It should have a positive impact on our cash flow, because we'll be saving more than we're spending in terms of financing.
Okay.
We haven't talked about the $8 million that we'll get in subsidies, and we'll get those over the course of a few years. And so that will have a positive impact on the cash flow as well, right? One of the things that we're looking at is when you go to issue bonds or certificates of participation, the organizations, the people who buy those things are looking for a certain return, right? They want to have some interest income. And so we're trying to structure it, though, so that we can pay those bonds or certificates of COPs off earlier as we get some of those subsidies, right? So that'll reduce the interest expense that we pay over the life of the bonds. But we'll have to see how that works because we want to be able to market it to people so that they earn this interest that they're looking for. Every year we have a really strong idea of what the savings are for every year. And as we build the financing, we're dropping those numbers into every year's financing to make sure that we're net positive.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions from the board? I do have one question regarding the selection of our professional providers on the deal. Sure. Are there minority and women contractors involved at the level of bond counsel or any of the other professional service providers that are providing us counsel in this deal?
Yes, the underwriters have a BEP firm that they're working with. Underwriters oftentimes will work, they don't do it themselves, they do it with another firm. And so in this case, the primary underwriter, I'm gonna get the name wrong because that's how I do it. Piper Sandler, I believe, is the name of the firm. And then they've contracted with a BEP firm out of San Francisco to help them with the job.
This is an ideal situation to help us grow capacity in a marketplace. So I'm glad that you mentioned the one firm. So can you talk about how the firms were retained?
Sure. So bond counsel, we've had on retainer for a long, long time. The underwriters, we put out to bid. So we put it out to bid. There were two that were really strong, but Piper was clearly the strongest.
These are some names that I'm very familiar with, but I just want to make sure that they had that component. Any other questions from the board?
Yes.
Trustee Wadsworth?
Yeah, this probably goes to George. So on our resolution here in section two, we talk about the maximum principal amount of the obligation is $71 million, yet we're looking to spend $53 million. So
when we put forward the maximums, because if I remember correctly in the item, I saw it quite a few times, the maximum principal is $71 million. The maximum interest rate is 6%, and the maximum years is 30. What that does is it gives us the flexibility to begin to negotiate with the underwriters and the interested parties for the COPs. So when we put the deal out, it will hopefully be not the max of any of those, because I'm pretty sure if they were, I'd come to the board and say, I don't think we can afford this. But it gives us the flexibility to say, hey, if we buy insurance, bond insurance with this, it's going to cost us another $1 million on top of the principal for the $56 million. Will that lower our interest rate down to 4.8%, which now makes this a really good deal for the university, and maybe we can pay it off a little sooner. So kind of my hope is that we're less than 5.5% for the interest rate, and we're less than 25 years for the payoff, and we're going to be less than $71 million by a lot for the actual principal. But we are still building everything to see where it lays.
So this gives us some cushion.
It gives us the flexibility to adjust different things and not have to come back to the board and ask for permission.
Can you talk about the timeline associated with that?
So I can. Moody's comes out next Tuesday, if I'm remembering correctly, and they'll spend the morning with us to look at the project and visit with us, learn a little bit more about us, and then they will give us what our rating is. I expect our rating to probably stay the same. I don't expect it to change, but they're going to look at everything. Then we'll put the official statement, so you are in this process of approving the preliminary official statement. What that is that's allowing us to develop the official statement. We'll put that out at the end of October. So I think October 31st is the goal, to have that on the streets so prospective COPS buyers can be looking at that document. And is this a deal that I'm interested in? Is the university, it talks about the university. And then we'll go to bond or go to issue the COPS on December 1st. So it gives them a month, essentially, to market the COPs.
Any other comments or questions from the board? Hearing that, let's call the question. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries.
Agenda item 6D, confirmation of board treasurer. The Northern Illinois University law provides that the board shall designate a member of the staff of Northern Illinois University as treasurer to serve the board but not as a member, and shall furnish a bond in such amount and with such security as is satisfactory to the board. In furtherance of this provision of the NIU law, the Board of Trustees bylaws, Article 4, Section 2, provides for the board to appoint university staff members to serve as ex officio corporate officers in roles including treasurer, with the provision that once appointed, these officials shall hold office until removal, resignation, or termination of employment with the university. Historically, the university's chief financial officer has served the board as its treasurer. Dr. George Middlemist has served as the university's vice president for administration and finance and chief financial officer since January 16, 2023, and his employment agreement with the university provides that he serves as treasurer of the Board of Trustees, contingent upon the approval of the board of such appointment. The recommendation from the university is that the Board of Trustees confirm George Middlemist as treasurer for the Board of Trustees. In addition, the university requests endorsement from the board to acquire a fidelity bond as required by the NIU law in an amount no less than $500,000 to be secured by the State of Illinois Department of Central Management Services or through another appropriate entity in the event that CMS is unable to secure the bond. The confirmation of Mr. Middlemist as board treasurer under this item nullifies any past board action regarding the appointment of a board treasurer and ratifies any actions taken by Mr. Middlemist in the role of board treasurer from the effective date of his employment with NIU.
May I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second, Barcima.
Any discussion? Oh, I know this guy. I trust him. So.
Explicitly.
Hearing no other discussion or comments, let's call a question. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries.
Congratulations.
Yep.
All right, George.
That was a good warm-up of the applause, so we can do better for the next item. How's that? Agenda item 6E, proposed naming of the Health Technology Center for the family of James and Theo Bostert. The NIU Foundation, on behalf of Northern Illinois University, has received a $40 million gift commitment from the Bostert Family Foundation. The gift was made by James and Theo Bostert through their foundation to commemorate their 1954 meeting on our campus and to support programmatic excellence and innovation in health technology, health professions, education, and related areas. Theo Bawell Bostert and James Bostert are natives of Elgin, Illinois. Theo was a student at NIU in 1954 and 55, studying speech correction, known today as speech-language pathology. 1 year into her studies, Theo met her future husband, James, on our DeKalb campus at a social event. James went on to become a founding partner of Cardiac Pacemakers, Inc., that St. Paul, Minnesota-based manufacturer of implantable pacemakers and cardiac rhythm management devices, was founded in 1971, acquired by Eli Lilly in 1978, and is now a subsidiary of Boston Scientific. This $40 million gift is the largest in the university's history, and it will directly support the development of NIU's Health Technology Center, a new facility that will be built at the corner of Lucinda Avenue and Annie Glidden Road on the current location of the Lincoln Residence Hall. Specifically, the gift will provide $10 million identified to close the gap on construction costs, $14 million for future programmatic development, including the acquisition of technology, faculty endowments, and student scholarships, and $14 million held in a restricted facility endowment maintenance fund. The remaining $2 million of the gift is designated for the Northern Fund in its support for emerging projects at the university. In recognition of this truly transformational act of philanthropy, the board is being asked to approve naming of the Bostert Bowell Health Technology Center. Fittingly, the center will be a multifunctional facility offering community health care clinics in audiology, physical therapy, and speech-language pathology, and it will also feature modern and flexible research, teaching, and innovation spaces. The university recommends wholeheartedly that the Board of Trustees approve the request to name the Health Technology Center in recognition of the Bostert family.
May I have a motion to approve? Is there any discussion?
I'm blown away. Seriously, blown away by
yes.
this.
Yes, and I think this comment kind of capsulizes the board's sentiment. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Again, you know, I made a statement earlier about people donating money and et cetera, their time and treasure, but this goes well beyond anything that I could have ever imagined. So thank you on behalf of the board. Thank you.
I'm also curious about our largest donor to date and how he may feel about this, so.
No, what I was gonna say is, you know, I think we should all take tremendous pride in this because this is a gift, my understanding, of where they basically came in and said, tell us what you can do, and then we're going to judge you against everybody else that we've gone to say, what could you do with this sort of gift? And they chose NIU. And I think that that's great testimony to what's going on here, to the plans that we have, to the people that we have. And so, you know, to me, this represents just a wonderful testimony and wonderful confirmation of what we're doing here at NIU, that they would put their trust and their treasure into us. And so everybody who touched this process while it's been going on for the past 6 months or however long this has been going on, thank you, great job, clearly, great job. But to everybody in the NIU community, this is tremendous testimony to what we're doing here. So everybody should be extremely proud that this family, and James and Theo, I know they're not on the line with us, but hopefully, you know, they'll hear all of our words. Thank you, thank you, thank you for having your trust, your confidence, your faith in NIU. And as a past donor and as a current donor, you know, I can tell you from both myself and Stacy, the money will be put to great use. We have never been disappointed with anything we've ever done here at NIU. Everything that we've ever done, and I hope I can speak on behalf of every donor who has donated to NIU, that the gifts that we've all made have exceeded our expectations. And I expect that we will exceed their expectations, whatever they may be. We will exceed their expectations. So James, Theo, family, thank you.
Go Huskies, go Huskies. All right, so let's call a question if there are no other statements to be made. No? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries. Fantastic. Are there any other matters requiring the attention of the board today? Hearing none, the next regularly scheduled meeting of the full Board of Trustees is December 12th, 2024 at 9 a.m. The board will not be conducting a closed session today. May I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved by Seema.
Sorry, O'Brien. I don't want it to end.
All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
No.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any objections? The meeting is now adjourned.
So.